In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us,
and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, Judica, the fifth Sunday in Lent, is found recorded in the Epistle or Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 to 15, and reads as follows. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let us now sing hymn 156. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 8, beginning at verse 46 and reading through to verse 59 as follows. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 to 21, and reads as follows. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of His Word. The two great doctrines of the Bible, law and gospel, present universal truths, meaning they apply to all people throughout the world. And that has always been the case and will always be the case. But the reason why the law condemns all mankind as being sinful and worthy of death comes back to one man, namely Adam. And the reason why the gospel proclaims the forgiveness of sins and God's grace for all mankind comes back to one man, namely Christ. Yes, Adam's fall affected all people, bringing sin and death upon all. But thankfully, the righteousness of Christ, His perfect active and passive obedience whereby He redeemed us, applies to all mankind. So God's grace and forgiveness includes the entire world. So that means both law and gospel apply equally to each one in this room and to anyone you ever meet throughout your whole life. So is true with the gospel. You can be sure that the gospel applies to you because it applies to everyone. You could be sure that it will apply to anyone that you meet. Any contrite sinner that you meet who needs to hear the gospel, bring it to him. And it certainly applies to that person. It applies to all people. Examining these universal declarations of God's holy law and His saving gospel in our text for today, we shall meditate upon the following theme: how Adam's sin and Christ's righteousness affect us all. We shall see in the first place that the sin of Adam and the sins of all people bring death upon all. And secondly, that just as Adam brought sin and death upon all mankind, so Christ brings righteousness and life for all people. God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of His Word in your hearts and in your lives. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they lost the divine image of holiness and righteousness in which they were created. Consequences hit them and all of their descendants. So, everyone. Their children were not born in God's holy image. They were born in Adam's fallen image. So the Bible says, Adam begat a son in his own likeness, after his image. Not only sin, but also the punishment for sin that Adam and Eve brought upon themselves was passed down to all of their descendants. Where there is sin, there must also be punishment. And so we read in the first verse of our text. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes, Adam's sin places every human being under the Lord's punishment of death. It would be wrong, however, to think that this is an unjust judgment, as if God is punishing the innocent for the sins of this one guilty man, Adam. Even though it is true, in our first verse of our text, the point is made that Adam's sin does result in death being brought upon all mankind, it's also clearly said in this first verse of our text that all are sinful. So again, it's not a case of the innocent being punished for the sins of another. There is no just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You will never meet a single person on earth who hasn't sinned and therefore justly deserves from God his punishment. That even applies to newborn babies. That even applies to babies still in the womb. The Bible says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And again, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The fact that they inherit their sin from their parents, and they from theirs going all the way back to Adam and Eve, does not in any way change the fact that they themselves are sinners who deserve God's punishment. Now, as our text continues, St. Paul directs us to consider the roughly 2,500 years that spanned the time period between Adam and Moses. During that time period, the people did not have the law of God in the same way that it had been given to Adam, as a specific, directly given command of God. Adam was given the command not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Until Moses and the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, God had not given his law in a form that the people could look at and say, oh, that's what God says not to do. And yet there was still sin in the world. Our text says, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, when our text says that sin is not imputed when there is no law, it simply means it's not charged to a person as a violation of a specifically stated, previously given law, if no specific command had been previously given. And yet, as is also clear from verse 13, there was still sin in the world. These people were violating the natural law of God written in their hearts, even before he had given it in written form through Moses. And so there was also death as the result of sin. Our text says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. When our text says that the people during that period of time from Adam to Moses did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression, the point is made, as was already stated, that they were not sinning against some previously stated command, as had been given by God to Adam, as had been given then finally through Moses on Mount Sinai. And yet during that time, there was still sin and the punishment of death. Now at the very end of verse 14, Adam is described as being the figure of him that was to come, namely Christ. Because as our text continues, we will see that even though in many respects Adam and Christ are direct opposites, yet we will also observe this significant point of similarity, namely how one man affected the entire human race. And the way the word many is used in our text for today, it refers to all mankind. More literally in the Greek, it's the many, in contrast to the one, either Adam or Christ. The very different effects of Adam and Christ upon all people are contrasted in the rest of our text. We read in the next two verses, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, the many," I'm adding the word "the" there because that's what's in the Greek, "the many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto the many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." The one sin of Adam brought the judgment of condemnation upon the many, all mankind. That was for one sin of one person. By contrast, the righteousness of Christ cancels out all the sins of all mankind, God declaring the whole world righteous, objectively justified and forgiven on account of Christ's work of redemption. This is God's gift of grace through the precious blood of Christ. Notice how it's described in verse 15 as, quote, "the free gift and the gift by grace." God grants this gift of grace to all people. He commissioned his disciples to carry this message of his free gift of grace to mankind to the whole world. He wants the gospel to be spread to all people. But sadly, most people do not accept the gift. The gift is offered, and the gift is refused and cast away by the unbelief of the vast majority of mankind. But in the next verse of our text, the believers, those who receive the gift of grace by faith through the working of the Holy Ghost, are described. And they're described as reigning in life, overcoming the reign of death, which was brought into the world by Adam. We read in our text, "For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, the believers, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." The next two verses in our text contrast the disobedience of Adam with the perfect obedience of Christ. And this is what is known as Jesus' active obedience, his perfect fulfilling of God's law, keeping all of God's commandments as our perfect substitute under the law. And it's also brought out here how his righteousness is credited to us. We read, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall the many be made righteous." Because of our utter sinfulness received from Adam, we all deserve the condemnation of hell. But on account of what Jesus did for us, his perfect righteousness, we are declared righteous. All of our sins are forgiven. We are justified for his sake. You You will remember that earlier in our text, in verses 13 and 14, the point was made that prior to the giving of the law through Moses, people sinned and died, but their sins were not, quote, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. They weren't sinning against specifically stated, previously given laws, as was the case with Adam. However, since the time of Moses to this present day, and till the end of the world, people are sinning after the similitude of Adam, because we are sinning against what God has published and made known throughout the whole world, like in his Ten Commandments. So now the sins of the people abound as blatant opposition to God's written and published law. Thus our text declares, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But what abounds even more than sin is the saving grace of God through Christ. Our text says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And what a comfort it is for us to know that, as we're told in verses 18 and 19 of our text, the gospel's promise of forgiveness and salvation apply to all people, since Christ's work of redemption was done for all. No penitent sinner should ever doubt that he might not be included. He is most definitely included. You and I are most definitely included in God's promises of grace for Christ's sake. And that gospel promise is true for all, even if no one believes it, even if no one has benefited from it, even if everyone rejects the gift by their unbelief. It would still be objectively true. God's forgiving grace in mankind is not based on a person's belief or faith. It's based on the work of Christ, which remains true. It is the objective, always true promises of God and his grace in Christ Jesus, to which you and I and all Christians cling to in faith. So we receive the benefits that are offered to the world, the benefits which most people in their unbelief spurn. May God always keep us trusting and clinging in faith to the promises of the gospel, rejoicing that we are included in God's gift of grace through Christ Jesus. Trust only in him, not in our works and merits, not even trusting in our faith. Our faith doesn't bring about the gift. All it does is receive the gift. But the objective justification of the world is received by us subjectively through faith. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear Lord, we offer to thee a portion of the temporal blessings which thou hast entrusted to us. Through the message of thy great love in the gospel, move us to give gladly and generously to the work of thy church. Amen. Let us rise to pray. Lord God, almighty and everlasting King, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom all the hosts in heaven praise and glorify, hear our prayer according to thy promise. For the revelation of thy matchless love and the gift of thy dear Son, for his high priestly sacrifice of his own body on the tree, for the gift of eternal redemption through his holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death, for the promise of eternal inheritance through his all-atoning sacrifice, we thank thee, O God. We praise thee for thy wondrous love, O Lord. We thank thee that thou hast spoken to us through thy Son, the Word of Life. We beseech thee to help us at all times to be faithful to his word. Out of thine infinite goodness, lift up thy church, that it may be saved from all weakness and failure and empowered for thy holy service through thy word. And to this end, help us, O Lord, to find men in the congregations of our conference in whose hearts thou hast placed the desire for the pastoral office which thou hast ordained, that in the years to come our congregations may flourish by thy grace under their guidance and leadership to the glory of thy holy name. We ask thee graciously to bless the surgery of Pastor Leitz tomorrow, replacing the stents for his kidneys, and grant him healing in his recovery following the procedure. To this end, we ask thee to bless the surgeon and all the medical staff whom thou wilt employ to tend to the needs of his body while he is in the hospital. We also pray for his wife, Patricia, that she may be comforted and strengthened by the gospel and reassured by thy faithful promises that thou wilt surely guide and direct all things to serve the good of thy believing children for Christ's sake. Be thou also the comforter, helper, and protector of our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Grant them and all of us thy merciful aid in every time of need. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, in whose name we furthermore pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Forever, ever. Thank you. Almighty and most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for our sins and to obtain forgiveness and redemption for us through his own blood, we beseech thee, let the merits of this spotless sacrifice ever comfort us with the promise of eternal inheritance by thy grace in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be honor and glory, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 6 of hymn 369.